Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, did you bring a trombone?
No. Was I supposed to?
Yeah. How is Nicotine Handball ever going to get ready for our first show?
All right, this is day four of Hardcore Week
with
Hunter Bennett on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And say hello, Hunter.
Hello, Hunter.
Very good. According to my notes, this is called Hardcore's Big Tent, this episode.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yesterday we talked about TSOL and sort of how diverse sounding the TSOL records are. You know, these are bands that we're going to hear today that sort of didn't fit into what the sort of stereotypical hardcore sound is. You know, these are people that did stuff that was kind of weird and sort of maybe fell in with a hardcore audience because they couldn't really fit in with anybody else. And, you know, hardcore audiences get maligned as being sort of narrow-minded, but, you know, particularly back in the early to mid-80s, they weren't. They, you know, you could have a bill that had, well, hardcore bills always had at least six bands on them, which is why the headliner never came on till like 2 a.m. Yeah. But, you know, those bands rarely all sounded alike. I mean, they're, you know, someone would be doing reggae, someone would be doing metal. It was interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to sort of explore the out sounds of hardcore. And we're going to kick it off with one of my favorite bands, the Big Boys from Austin, Texas. And they are doing Act Reaction off of their first record.
People killing people without any reason. A gun to your head if you're alone. There's no doubt when your feelings start taking over. Just react to the scene you were just shown. Act, act, reaction. Act, act, reaction. Act, act, reaction. Act, act, reaction. A sudden moment of gone too far again. You're not yourself anymore. Bright day changes into a dark moon. It will never be as before. Act, act, reaction. Act, act, reaction.
There you have it. So that was kind of, you know, some funky post-punk with some jazz chords thrown in. And the guitar player and bassist, Tim Kerr and Chris Gates, used to trade off. So I'm not sure which one is playing which on here, but that's got some great, cool bass and guitar interplay. The singer was a guy, Randy Biscuit Turner, who's sort of a punk rock legend.
Yeah, he is.
And I think the drummer's name was Fred on this record, if I'm not mistaken. They had more drummers than Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
But this record came out in June of 1981. It was called Where's My Towel / Industry Standard LP. And what I like about this, apparently the Big Boys had a kind of sleazy manager that was forever trying to rip them off. And whenever he would try and get them to sign something, giving up like, you know, 95% of their royalties, and they'd ask him about it, he'd get all huffy and be like, oh, it's industry standard. So they had their revenge in naming the record.
I think that has kind of a British sound to it, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
For this band, you said it's from Austin?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they got sort of more sort of funky and hardcore as they went on. They actually added a horn section for some of their songs. And Touch and Go Records actually has compiled all the Beach Boys, or Big Boys stuff, onto two CDs. The early stuff is called The Skinny Elvis, and the later stuff is called The Fat Elvis.
And that's great. Perfect.
I kind of prefer The Skinny Elvis because it's weirder, but they're both great. Yeah. And as good as they are on record, apparently they were even better live. When Minor Threat played down in Austin, they headlined over the Big Boys. And after it was over, they were like, we are never making that mistake again. Next time we come to town, the Big Boys will headline and we'll open for
you.
That's
saying something. Yeah. Well, and I'm really glad that we sort of got into this Texas thing too, because I think, you know, like you said, Hunter, not only the Big Boys just being totally weird and totally off the wall, there's also famously, the Butthole Surfers started out in San Antonio, another Texas band that was just weird and bizarre, and also a band called The Dicks with their singer, yeah. Gary Floyd. The Butthole Surfers actually wrote a song called Gary Floyd. That's one of their greatest songs. But yeah, you know, totally bizarre and off the wall, theatrical almost to a degree.
Yeah, and the first Dicks record, I think, is a split with the Big Boys on one side and the Dicks on the other, mm-hmm. live at Raoul's. And there's a band, Really Red, from Houston, who are also great.
Another very cool band. And the Dicks, Kill From The Heart, was actually out on SST, and that's a great kind of a seminal early hardcore record, too.
Yeah, and then they went on to Alternative Tentacles.
They did.
Like,
moved to San Francisco, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I always like it when bands have like two incarnations. There's like the Texas version, and then they move the San Francisco version.
There were quite a few bands that emigrated to San Francisco because it was accepting and there were labels there. And those are, you know, some examples of that for sure, that they found a home there where in Austin or anywhere outside of Austin, I guess, you know, Austin is sort of not really like, I guess, the rest of Texas, right?
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, bands that were from El Paso or Dallas or San Antonio, you know, kind of found a refuge in Austin, but even more so in San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah. And Texas goes on for days.
Yeah, it does.
So where else are you going to play?
I know. Right? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And one final note before we move off the Big Boys. I thought this was really cool. You guys know the movie Dazed and Confused by Richard Linklater?
Of course, yeah.
And he did the sequel, Everybody Wants Some. Did you guys see that?
I've
seen it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's set in Austin in 1980. And the Big Boys' first single was called Frat Cars. And it was sort of an attack on fraternity brothers. And there's a scene in the movie where one of the characters walks into a bar. And there's a band in the corner, and they're playing Frat Cars.
Oh, really? I didn't
know
that.
So it's like, you know, it doesn't say like the Big Boys or anything anywhere, but I got really excited, and I leaned over to my wife, and I'm like excitedly whispering in her ear, and she goes, shh.
Later.
Yeah.
Been there.
Check that out.
So next we're going to go in a radically different direction, and we are going to listen to Police Hotel by The Mentors. We're from Los Angeles, though I think they were originally from Seattle.
Listen, everybody, you must understand. It's happening outside the Cafe D Grand. Beer's too expensive and you're poor. So head down to the liquor store.
Better listen now. Are you going to be in a cell? In the police hotel.
Buy a torpedo of Colt 45. The dinosaur fuel will keep you alive. Then head back to the parking lot and look at skinheads drinking gut rot. All over the stinky block. Skinheads, blue hairs, or a mohawk.
All right. All right. So the Mentors later went on to great infamy during the PMRC hearings that Tipper Gore presided over. We just listened to the least offensive Mentors song of all time.
Yep.
I think, you know, I think it, I mean, that's as wholesome as the Mentors ever got. you know, it's, there's so many things I love about that. One of which is that it sounds like there was a recording, like maybe El Duce, the famous singer of Mentors, was playing a record and then grabbed a microphone and got way too close to it and started shouting into it. I mean, the mix is like the vocals are right in your face.
Yeah.
But I was in this band in 1991. We were called Stab, and our singer was John Stab. Mm. And we toured North America. Well, first we did the U.S., then we did Canada. And the two things that we listened to pretty much the entire time were the Ghetto Boys' We Can't Be Stopped record. It's the self-titled one, whatever came out on Def American.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Mentors. And we listened to the Mentors because we love doing the El Duce voice so much.
Nice.
And so we would be like, they will kick your butt. They don't like your hair. And I don't know. We just got such joy out of it. And whenever I hear the Mentors, sadly, John is no longer with us. But whenever I listen to the Mentors, it makes me smile and think of him. So that's why I put this on here. And actually, before we leave, I should, and go on to the next song, I should say, when we got back from the U.S. leg of the tour, before we went to Canada, the Mentors were actually playing at the Bayou, you know, of all places.
Oh, wow. Were they really?
And so John got himself on the guest list because I guess the Mentors were hooked up with Mystic Records, and John knew Doug Moody, the guy who owns Mystic, a little bit. And so I think John called up, and John got on the guest list, and he goes to the Bayou, and, you know, the Bayou is like the worst, least hip club in the world.
Yeah.
And John's like, I'm on the guest list. It's John Schroeder or John Stab. And the guy's looking through, and he's like, nope. Do you go by any other names? Like maybe Sea Monkey?
Who was on the list?
Yeah. Sea Monkey was on the list. I think Stab ended up getting in somehow. And El Duce kind of knew Stab, and he would always say just insane things to him. John also had a great story about at a party in Toledo where there was a line for the bathroom, and it was too long, I guess. And El Duce just peed in his pants while he was standing in the line.
Nice.
So
we got to go.
Yeah. So, John, hopefully hopefully you were up there looking down and listening and smiling and thinking of El Duce and the Mentors.
Resting in power for sure, Stab. And, you know, I will say, too, the Mentors album titles are some of the funniest that you'll ever come across. I mean, they have one called You Axed for It. Houses of the Horny and Rock Bible.
And we
great titles.
We had the Sandwich Bag EP, which had on it Going Through Your Purse, which was about picking up women and then when they're sleeping, going through their purses and taking money from them. And Peepin' Tom, which I loved. The chorus was, I'm a peepin' Tom, I'm a peepin' on your mom. El Duce's also a little bit famous because he claimed that Courtney Love had tried to hire him to kill Kurt Cobain,
which
I'm dubious. I mean, if I were going to hire an assassin, it would not have been El Duce.
Somebody a little more low key.
Yeah. All right. So
that's a big tent.
It's a big tent. You're right.
Yeah. So let's move on now and let's hear. Jim mentioned earlier the SST's Blasting Concept compilation. And this song I first heard in probably 1983. It is the end of either side one, the last track on either side one or side two of the SST compilation, The Blasting Concept. It's by a band called Saccharin Trust, and the song is A Human Certainty. What's that, like a minute and a half of like intro, just music with like Joe Baiza doing like guitar heroics?
Yeah, he's an amazing player.
Yeah, and again, like Jack Brewer's voice, it's otherworldly, and it works so well. And it, you know, this, I heard that coming out of like, you know, Black Flag, the Meat Puppets, like Husker Du, and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. That's the first Saccharin Trust record is called Pagan Icons. I think it's only like a 6-song EP.
Yeah.
But it's great. They went in sort of more of a free jazz direction. Mm-hmm. And it's not bad, but it's just not. Pagan Icons is the one. I mean, that's a great record.
Yep. Really combines sort of that early SST sound with a lot of really interesting stuff. The band that I play in, we're lucky enough, probably our all-time bill. We were on a bill with two bands, and one happened to be Mike Watt. We were playing below Mike Watt, and Joe Baeza was playing guitar in his band at that time. And
oh, cool.
He came backstage before we played at the 930 Club, and he said, "What's your deal? I never heard of your band." Like, you know, he's very nice about it. Oh, yeah. Said, "Well, you know, we play once every 5 years or so, and practice every week, though." And he goes, "I never heard of anything like that." And he walked out.
So what? What tour was that? Was that the solo record tour?
Yes, that was the first. So Mike Watt solo record. No, not Ball Hog or Tugboat. The one after that. I think that was the concept album about his dad.
Oh, about his dad in the Navy. Engine
room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Joe was the guitar player as a trio, and it was really really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a really really nice guy and very funny. But you know, he stroked his little beard and said, "I never heard anything like that."
Nice.
Yeah, really right. Good guy.
So, next we're actually we're going to go local, and we are going to hear 9353
Sweet.
From Northern Virginia, and they are going to do a song called 10 Witches, which I first heard on the Bouncing Babies compilation. Which had a lot of great local DC bands that were a little left of center in terms of hardcore. So, take it away, 9353. All right, so that is like five great songs in one.
Yeah.
It's like operatic in both scope and vocals. The shredding guitar is courtesy of Jason Carmer, mm-hmm. who was also in the sort of more traditional hardcore band Double O. That's Dan Joseph on the drums, and Vance Bacchus, who was sort of a legendary reprobate, is on bass. He actually has the distinction of being the only person that bummed money off of me outside of his own show, which I thought was kind of funny. And you know, the star of that is obviously Bruce Merkel, the vocalist, yep. who, like, how he sings like that, I have no idea. And again, it's like all these disparate parts coming together, and like the line, "Growing up isn't all that nice. You've been in jail 5 times and detoxed twice. Reach out for someone, you might get sliced." I mean, if I had to make a list of like greatest lyrics of all time, like certainly greatest hardcore lyrics, though, you know, I think I would just put that in my greatest lyrics of all time mm-hmm. list. I mean, it's just astonishing.
They were a pretty cool, influential band for me, 9353, because they were kind of always around, but I love the fact that they kind of, everything they did seemed to be very, very thought out. And like from their record covers on down, they were these amazing collages with all this homemade stuff and pasted on there. And they weren't really part of the Discord scene. They weren't really part of any kind of scene except for their own. And, you know, Fountain of Youth Records was a label they put some music out on, but they just had a totally different vibe. Like they didn't seem to really care that much about what other people were doing or what they sounded like. And I always thought that was really cool. And, you know, like I was saying earlier this week, the records were around, you know, even though it was 86 or 87 when I started to learn about some of these bands, there were the first two 9353 records in the bins, you know, at Joe's or Yesterday and Today or some of these places you went to shop. So it was easy to get those and hear that music if you were willing to sort of take a chance on them. But they were really neat. And I think it's great that we included them. That's a band, in my opinion, that should be more well known than they are. And they're not really well known. They don't even have a Wikipedia entry, and there's not a whole lot about them on the internet, but that's really kind of a cool band, and definitely I think more influential than what they get credit for.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, they people that saw them, and I saw them in their second incarnation, when they got together in like the 90s, right. And they were great. But yeah. People who saw them in that first run talk about them as, you know, like the greatest,
that's right.
The greatest band they've ever seen. Yeah. Like, I think Alex Daniels, who was in Swizz and Severin, he talks about, I think the first show he ever went to was 9353, and he talks about it still just in sort of breathless terms.
And they used to play the 930 Club in DC Space probably once a month, you know, in yeah. those couple of years before I started going to see bands. And that's one of those ones you really regret missing yeah. in that first incarnation. Yeah.
Yeah. DC Space was the best.
Oh, man. It was such a great
place. For you listeners out there that are on the young side, it's now the venue known as the Starbucks that's at 7th and E. Makes me sad every time I walk past
very
it.
Very sad. Yep.
So
it's only a half block from my day job office.
Yes, that's right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there at the corner.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's finish up with a band called McRad from Philadelphia.
Okay.
Doing a song called Forget Those Years. McRad were, they were a bunch of teenagers, or at least several of them were teenagers, when I first started listening to hardcore punk. And they were just great. You know, I remember them very fondly, and so I wanted to figure out a way to work them in here. And they, you know, they did sets. I was actually just watching a video the other day of them playing at Love Hall and, the CE Center. That's right. They were opening for Void from DC. Mm. And they would do sets that were like half hardcore. And then the singer would leave the stage and the drummer would come out and put on the guitar and sing. And they would do reggae.
Wow.
And so this is, and they were actually really good at doing reggae. This is a song called Forget Those Years. So that's McRad from a record called Dominant Force, which came out on Red Records, which is a local Philadelphia label, in 1984. Mm-hmm. They were kind of remarkable for a couple of reasons. Chuck Treese, the guy that played drums and sometimes guitar, he was a professional skateboarder in the early 80s. And I mean, he is a virtuoso. He is now a studio musician. He's played with everybody in the world. There's video of him playing Sister Havana with Urge Overkill on the
really?
Letterman show.
Really?
And he also played bass on Billy Joel's River of Dreams and got a gold record for that.
Wow.
And like I said, he would trade off. I guess the guy that played drums on the hardcore songs was named Tristan Rainier. And he was a Dutch guy who was in Philadelphia going to college studying jazz. And so they were just monster players, and they would trade off, and there would be no change in quality.
Wow.
And then the bass player was a guy, Zeke Zagar, whose father, Isaiah Zagar, is sort of a famous artist in Philadelphia. And I think Zeke now plays guitar with HR, who is living in Philadelphia. Yeah. Now that's HR from the Bad Brains.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the singer that sang the hardcore songs was a guy named Ethan Jarvis, who was a really nice, I mean, he must have been like 15 or something when they started.
Wow.
He was a really nice guy. I got curious about McRad as we were planning the show, and I discovered that he unfortunately died of a brain tumor a couple of months ago. But anyway, they were just a really great band, a really great local band, and they were all really nice. And, you know, I think they do reggae very credibly, which was difficult to do. There are a lot of hardcore yeah. bands that did not pull that off, but that song, I think they do a really great job with.
Totally. Sounds like it. Never heard of them.
No, same here.
Sounds very cool.
All right. So I think this brings us to the conclusion of day four
Sweet.
Of Hardcore Week. You know, it got tough there. There were a couple points at which I didn't think we would make it, but we powered through.
Yeah.
And my God, tomorrow we are going to celebrate DC Hardcore.
That's right.
Which, you know, if I could actually roll down my sleeve or up my sleeve for the Patreon viewers and show them, I have the DC Hardcore flag tattooed on
Sweet,
my arm.
Man.
You know, the two bars and the three X's.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I'm a little nervous that we're going to definitely enter Nick Scalera territory tomorrow, right? With two of you at the table,
well, yeah,
right?
Yeah. And, you know, I'll say as a quick addendum to Hunter's excellent Big Ten outline that we've focused this week exclusively on U.S. hardcore, but it's interesting the Canadian scene at the same time was pretty popular. I mean, DOA was a band that, you know, played a lot and had some early records. Subhumans, another one, No Means No, SNFU. There was a lot of Canadian bands that kind of played around and came back and forth. And that could be a whole show just on that stuff. But I think it's kind of interesting that at that time in that, you know, well, bands were going up and touring around and they were coming down here pretty frequently, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like that band, you ever hear Personality Crisis?
I've heard of them.
It's like the music was on like 45, but the vocals were on like 15. So it'd be like, really don't understand what it's doing to me. That's a terrible vocal. But anyway, they were very unique sounding and it was in the vocals.
Huh. All right.
Yeah.
Well, do you think there will be a hardcore week two?
Definitely could be.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Many weeks as you got, I can keep talking about hardcore. And then from there, maybe, you know, if you want to do maudlin pop songs of the 70s, I'm your guy for that too.
That's right. We'll back right into that.
I think we talked about that before, right?
Yeah,
we did on day one.
Yeah. That's right. But I mean, I think you brought that up when we were recording the Dot Dash stuff too. I think you talked a little
maybe.
Bit about that.
I mean, I love that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hunter's nothing better origins. Than a song about death.
Tell us before we go here, I see a number of instrument cases here. So are those all basses or basses and guitars?
You see, Jim, you kind of are blowing my scam. If I keep my instruments spread out around the house, then certain people that might be dismayed by how many instruments I own can't keep track of how many are.
Yeah,
those may or may not be bass guitars, and they may or may not belong to me.
And there may or may not be instruments in them.
All right, I gotcha.
Yeah, maybe they're just cases I got at garage sales for free.
In case I need them one day.
They could be Tommy guns, right? Okay, there you go.
They're just weapons,
yeah,
honey.
Totally.
That's right. That's all.
It's just weapons and ammo.
You can do the same kind of thing with records, too. Well, actually, what I find with records is you go out record shopping, mm-hmm. and then you just sort of like ease them into the collection without anybody being the wiser, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Well, and you guys have a podcast, so you can always fall back on that. It's my work.
Yeah, defense. That's right.
It's for my work.
I had a store coupon.
But yeah, but easing more guitars and stuff into the collection probably isn't quite as...
It's probably more difficult.
Yeah, it's
probably
more
difficult. It's not, but I found that if you have them shipped to your office, then you can bring them home when you're coming home from band practice and people don't...
Yeah,
people are none the wiser.
Same kind of deal.
Yeah.
Same kind of deal. You just sort of camouflage it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our listeners have thoughts on that.
I'm sure
how to disguise things coming into your
home. What I was going to say is I could say from our experience probably that the wives don't listen to the podcast.
That's probably accurate.
Yes.
I am confident that there will soon be a third wife who does not listen to your podcast.
That's right. We understand. All right. Let's get out of here. Yes. If anybody else wants to recommend hardcore songs that we should listen to.
Totally.
Especially maybe some of the stuff that's not as well known like you were talking about.
That would
be really cool. We would love that.
Yeah. I mean, like if you got a band in your Echo Park neighborhood that plays hardcore and
seriously,
are wildly popular that we missed, we would love to hear about it.
Love to hear about that.
You can do that by emailing rock@suburbspod.com or finding us on the social medias at suburbspod or calling the Suburban Party Line 612-440-1984. Do all the things.
Yeah. Do all those things. Stick your head out the window and yell.
And there's that one too. This window is open, so we would hear you.
Somebody would come if we keep yelling.
Okay. Tomorrow, the dramatic conclusion of Hardcore Week.
Can't wait.
We're going to focus on DC Hardcore, which I think to a lot of people defines hardcore to a large segment of music listeners, right? They're really known for that. So,
and we're going to be spotlighting some of the lesser known bands.
Absolutely,
that's what I like about this.
It's going to be the revolution summer and beyond DC sound.
All
perfect.
Right, so we'll do that. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan,
and I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us is
Hunter Bennett,
and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
But it's me, okay. You're the only place to like these guys.